I thought of actually continuing the same subject that we have dealt with this morning, which is sickness and healing, and particularly looking at tonight at the most important healing that we should be looking after and searching for, which is the healing of our souls. You've noticed as we have read through this passage how much of Jesus' healing and dealing with sick and desperate people, but also how much he has praised for faith to come to him, those who received his blessings. So I'd like to look at what we find in verse 3, right at the start of this chapter, regarding the story of this leprous man. Verse 3 tells us the words of Christ, "I will, be thou clean." And in the light of, if you put yourself in the light, in the place of this man full of leprosy, these words must have been the most blessed words that he had ever heard. So perhaps it's useful, although we did look at leprosy in Leviticus not long ago, I think it's useful to review a little bit about this illness, and so to look at this man and who he was here, and then we can say a few things about Christ's attitude and what he does. And obviously we need to look at the means of faith for this man and for the other men that we have read of here, which will be helpful. So the leprosy and this man, we are told in God's providence, here is what happens. The Lord is coming down from the mountain. There are multitudes following Christ, but one man is receiving a great blessing. You see, this man, a leper, come and worshipped him. We may imagine and picture this man, in fact, bowing down on the earth before Christ, worshipping him and saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now, you remember, to think about leprosy, children especially here, we are not so much acquainted in our days. We don't know exactly what a leprous looks like. But in those days, it was not very common, but it was clear. The Jews had specific regulations for dealing with leprosy, and they received a lot from God's revelation about what they had to do. And to be cleansed and purified from leprosy, it was a grace of God. And they had to deal, they had to go through a certain procedure, and it was connected with a priest. It had to do also with an inward cleansing that God had to be regarded at. In Leviticus 14, we are told that the purification of the leper had to be reminded with the killing of one bird, and its blood had to be dipped in the blood the other bird, and then left to fly again into life. The leper who had been healed from leprosy had to observe this procedure, and he had also the blood of this first sacrifice to be applied upon himself. there's much to look there. We will see this, God willing, when we'll study Leviticus again in details. But this was pointing again to the wonderful work of grace and the need for applying the blood of the sacrifice to be cleansed and to be healed. So leprosy, it was pretty clear to the people of the time, for the Jews of the time, that not only was an awful disease, but it was a spiritual illness. It was treated as a real consequence of sin and what it does. And so should we be more clear with this? Perhaps there's no better description of what sin does in your soul and in your life than to look at leprosy. It is very bad. It is miserable to be a leper. The life of a lepers in those days was a desolate and awful life. Leprosy started perhaps in a small measure in the body of one person. They might have seen at the start a little mark in the skin, but then this continued and developed and eventually attacked the whole body, taking away even parts of the face, for example, and limbs of the body were cut out and like eaten by this illness, like a canker. It was not only sad, but it was a desperate condition to be in. They had to be living away from society, apart from, separate from their loved ones. There's nothing better for you to think of sin within your life, thinking of the life of a leper and how grievous his existence was. And we don't really see this for ourselves so often, but we are, as sinners, exactly like this. And although we may notice only one little aspect of sin on our skin, we actually don't realize that if we don't deal with sin, not only will we end in death with our body, but we will end in eternal death, away from God's presence forevermore. To be a sinner, it means to be a leprous, spiritually ill and dead forevermore. There was no cure for a leper then, and it was only by God's grace that someone could be brought before the priest and acknowledge that by God's great mercy, leprosy was gone. And again, there was a clear procedure so that this could be checked out and stated that this man was truly cleansed by leprosy. It was a miracle. God only could have done this. So, such a man that we read here is burdened with all these consequences that we have said. He was a leper. This is what it meant. His life was so damaged. His only hope was death and nothing more. So far as he could see, everybody else was isolating him, and he was isolated. He was alone and suffering, and obviously not only physically, as you can imagine, but also emotionally. He was a leper. And you don't know for how long this man was in such a state, but you can surely tell this must have been a long process. Maybe one day just started with a little appearance in his skin, and who knows what were his thoughts and how he dealt with this. And then little by little this illness developed and there was nothing to be done. And it got worse. And he became more and more isolated from reality, from life, which was seen as normal. And so this is our condition, friends. This is what the Bible tells us to be a sinner. It is to be spiritually a leper. It is naturally in your own soul. You are a sinner by nature. This is what the Word of God tells us. This is why we are hopeless. Although we cannot tell naturally, but the day we come before God, who is most holy, and the time we read Christ's life and his teachings, the time we come to reality and realize, looking at our spiritual hands and feet and face, we look at the mirror of the Word of God and we see clearly that we have this leprosy, it becomes an awful burden. It becomes a dreadful reality. I am a leper. I cannot be holy. I cannot stand before God. I will never get to heaven. My destiny is hell. That's what the Word of God means when it says all are sinners and born in sin. That's what it means when we read from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam fell and sin entered this world and death with it. So if anyone here could say, well, I'm sure, and I can tell, I will never die. Well, you may claim that you have no sin. If anyone here can show and be persuaded and 100% sure, demonstrating that he has always and will ever fulfill the Ten Commandments all the time, every day, until the last day meeting God, then, well, you may be without sin. You may be outside of this category. But I'm afraid what the Bible tells is true, that each and every one and all have sinned. You can ask the youngest one here, and in all honesty, they may come and say, well, yes, I've disobeyed my parents at least once. This is exactly what Romans chapter 7, what the Apostle Paul has acknowledged himself when he said, the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. Romans 7:19. Paul is describing for you all what the effects of sin are and how you will never heal yourself from this leprosy. It is a spiritual disease that no one of your friends will help you with. No greater doctor of this world can ever fix it. It is an illness which is inside yourself, and there is no medicine in this world. And the only doctor that can fix this is Christ. This is what we have seen in this chapter so clearly. This is why Christ came and said, it is those who are ill that need the doctor and not those who are well. It is for those who have discovered, like this leper man, to be ill. And those who pretend they are fine, they just believe this because of their own imagination and because of their own blindness and because they have not seen fully yet the effects of their leprosy in their soul. But here is this man, and you can see he's very conscious of what he has. And he comes to Christ, and he bows down, and he says, "Lord, you can make me clean." Now there's a belief here in this man. There's faith in this man, otherwise he could have never said these words. And this man who has lost everything, who has nothing in his hand to bring to Christ, he has nothing ahead of him that gives hope, he comes trusting the Lord Jesus. We are not told what he heard before this, but surely he had enough. For he prays the Lord Jesus and he says, "Lord, I know who you are. And if you want, I know you can make me clean." In other words, you can save me. You can heal this illness. So by faith, this man is praying in a very simple way, but he's demonstrating that he knows the Lord Jesus is more than a mere man. He calls him Lord. He submits to him. He worships him as God. And this is the evidence that his faith is true. It is a God-given faith. And he comes at the feet of Christ asking for healing and for salvation. There is everything bad in this man's life. There is nothing that he can bring to Christ in his favor. There is nothing he can claim, but he comes in all his illness. And it is very similar to what we read of the man on the cross beside the Lord there, asking the Lord, of all his, the thief of the cross, of all his sins in all his life, he is there dying on the cross, but he says, "Lord, remember me." He is not claiming anything good from himself, but he casts all himself in the Lord's hand, just like this leprous man. It is by faith that he worships Christ, because he knows that in himself he cannot be in the presence of God. He has been, in fact, because of this, away from the tabernacle. He was not allowed to go and worship God, and here he is, as if his world has received a complete upside down. He is finally in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and what does he do? He doesn't run away. Rather, he comes and he worships him, and he is asking what no one else can ever give. That's the faith of this man. Now, what can you notice of Christ, especially in this incident here? It is obviously, as ever, most wonderful and most encouraging, and it is the reaction that you and I need as spiritually leprous people. First of all, you notice of Christ that he is the one who has the power to heal this illness. And Christ heals this leprosy just by the power of his word. He answers, "I will. Be thou clean." This is why the Lord came. And this is the lesson for all those who knew about leprosy that we said before. Those who never came near to Christ. Imagine all this multitude. There was a great multitude following Christ. And all these people were stepping away from this leprosy. But Christ says, "I will. Be thou clean." And everybody can see that Christ is able to show this miraculous power. They can see now that the kingdom of God has come and it's in the midst of them. That this Jesus who has grown up there in their own place, he is more than a man. He is the Messiah. He is God Himself, as it will be explained more and more throughout His miracles and His death and resurrection. But to see this man here displaying this faith, it is most encouraging. He is alone and he approaches Christ, receiving His power to heal. So that's the first thing we see of Christ. He is the right one to be approached. In other words, He is the one who can heal, and He does it. But secondly, you notice in verse 3, that Jesus not only speaks, but He put forth His hand and touches him. And that shows, along His power, it shows His great mercy, His great compassion. And this is most important for you to know today, that Christ's character and reason for him to come is to show this compassion towards your illness, to towards your spiritual state. Although you may be recognizing your leprosy spiritually, you may see with shame who you are, and when you can see the growth of your sins, can cause so much fear within yourself. And the more you see of it, the more you would be tempted to step away from God and try to fix it and cleanse you by your own help and means and various ways. But here is the reason for Christ to have come, to show His power and to declare His compassion clearly. This Christ touches the leprous man. This is something that no one was allowed to do. And this is something that this man has ever longed for. A hug, a touch, someone else to approach him and come closer. He has never experienced this for a long time. Since he was declared a leper, he was isolated from the touch of anyone, let alone his dear ones. But here the Lord answers positively to his prayer, but more than this, he touched him. What compassion is here? He is demonstrating with this gesture his great kindness and his ability to sympathize with who you are in your sins. Here is the Christ who has taken human form, and He is showing compassion in your dreadful state of sin. And He comes without sin to you, putting forth His hand and touching you as you pray and as you recognize your sinful state. There is Christ Jesus, the Messiah. He has the power and the compassion to deal with your leprosy. But thirdly, the reaction of Christ is even more encouraging, because you see, He becomes the Lord in the sense that He is from now on the leader of this man, the God, the Lord, the Savior. Let's put it this way. He tells to him in verse 4 what to do. To go and bring an offering to God through what Moses had commanded. And this tells us that Christ is the one that not only saves you, but the one who leads you in the truth and in God's word and in bringing you before a life of freedom in God's presence. This is what we read in Galatians chapter 5. This is, in a way, for this man, the great hope that from now on, not only he is cleansed by his illness, but now he has an eternal hope. He has a direction for his future. He is told, go to the priest, offer your gift to God. He is led by Christ himself to his Father in heaven to do his will and to live a holy life from now on. This is what Christ the Lord will do to you who recognize your leprosy and cry to him in worship, heal me, O Lord. You see how everything is outside of yourself. Everything about salvation doesn't depend on yourself, but it is used. But it is because of faith in him that everything is happening. And so, if you see the consequences of sin in your own life, even at this time, maybe for the first time, but also for the 1,000th time, there is no more hope for you than to bow down to Christ, the Lord, the one who can heal your leprosy, the one who can make you live by the Spirit, as we have read in Galatians 5. If you see today your lust, your covetousness, your lies, your pride, and you don't have the cure, well, that's the time to act like this leper, to confess who you are and to ask full healing to the right one who can do this. Sometimes the Lord is bringing our soul to a point of desperation before realizing this. We don't have to think that faith is one good aspect of our own doings. It's even faith, God-given gift. But the Lord is using all providence to lead you to salvation in such a way. This man has met the Lord coming down from the mountain, and among all the multitudes, he knew he had to reach Christ and walk towards him and ask the best question he ever asked in his life. Will you do this today? Will you confess your illness before God and stop turning anywhere else but at the feet of Christ, confessing who you are and recognizing who he is, submitting to whatever he will answer in guiding you into God's presence, in what to do next for your own life? This will be the best confession and the best submission that you will ever have to do, because Christ is the Lord. He is God and he is the Messiah. Never run away from him, but rather bring to him all your fears.